Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And it's almost Halloween, kind of.
Kind of, so yeah, sort of, maybe.
If you're watching this on the live stream, we've themed it a little bit, but not too much because...
Yeah, this is not too much?
No, this is a little much.
Okay.
But the chat's covering it.
Much, oh, yeah, so it is. Yeah. It's just for those evil-looking eyes up there.
Right. But this week on the weekly, Games Workshop sells out... horrifying pre-orders. All right.
Where's that buzz coming from? Something happened.
Well, oh, yes. Maybe you're, yeah.
Not me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Where is it? Is that? Oh, wait. Weird. Sorry, we got a buzz.
It is lessening. You know what it was?
Oh, was it? We get a feedback?
There's a little bit.
Yeah.
It only started when you put the Forbidden Songbook on the cord.
Oh. Well, that's weird. Oh, so maybe the cord. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's still yes. through a little bit.
All right. Well, apologies. Hopefully we can filter some of that out.
It's quiet now.
Okay. Yeah, that was...
It's still there.
Yeah, it must have bumped the cord.
Or Forbidden Song was just kind of evil.
Yes, the evil game has corrupted. Okay. So are you guys hearing that still? We'll see. Okay. So this week on the weekly,
try it again.
Games Workshop sells out horrifying pre-orders. Nightshade Poisons AI,
oh God.
Deadly Nightshade, Lost Mountain Saga pre-order, Nordic Horror, ooh. And Roll20 Humble Bundle, Terrifying Submission to a Single VTT.
Okay.
All right. So that's our they're not horrific or Halloween in any way, but some of the topics for this week. So the first thing, this was from Spiky Bits post, and it is talking about the changes, the horrible changes that I think maybe Wizards of the Coast and other people will be trying to follow.
Oh, geez. All right.
Is the new pre-order system for Games Workshop. So they made wild changes to their new release schedule. So now many of the products are going to be very difficult for local game stores to get. And what they're trying to do, it seems like what they're trying to do is just get more accurate numbers and gauge interest because they're overprinting stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very strange. I was hearing that too.
Not sure where it came from.
Yeah, they're really messing around with the local sellers to benefit themselves. So they don't want to overproduce, and they want to sell with their full markup on their web store first. So
I hate to say it,
mm-hmm.
but I understand mm-hmm. the reason.
Oh, you'll wait until you hear what
okay.
the CEO said.
Okay. I'll probably disagree with him, but okay. Yeah.
But so now it's a 2-week pre-order period. And basically, Games Workshop is saying we will sell out of everything moving forward. That's their plan, to print just enough so that they run out. So there's nothing in their warehouses for every one of these things that they produce.
Okay.
And so it they'll require some this weird back and forth with the local game stores. So you have to wait until Games Workshop approves your pre-order numbers before you can even offer pre-orders to your customers.
Wait, you have to wait until Games Workshop approves your pre-order numbers mm-hmm. before you can like submit pre-orders.
Yeah, because you don't know. Because if you give pre-orders, if you take pre-orders from your customers and say, okay, I've got 18 pre-orders, they say, no, we're giving you 5. Then you have to go back to your customers and say, sorry, 13 of you didn't pre-order because we're not getting them.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, so the orders, the you can take pre-orders, but that doesn't mean anything. You can your customers can give you all the money that you want. You have to negotiate with Games Workshop independently, tell them the number you want, and then they'll say, "Okay, we'll see." And then they get back to you and say,
"I'm sorry, how does that work?" Right? Mm-hmm. Like
they're the distributor, and you.
Nope, yeah, I got you. I got you. But what I'm saying is, like a local game store says. Okay, we got 20 pre-orders for the new Leviathan box. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, doesn't that necessarily mean, okay, not everyone is going to pick up their order, right? Mm-hmm. But assuming that those customers, those 20 customers paid.
Right.
Right? We're pre-ordering this. Doesn't that guarantee.
That's not a contract with Games Workshop.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But wouldn't Games Workshop say, cool, you have, like, we will sell you mm-hmm. then, because that's how it works, right? We'll sell you 20 copies that you pre-ordered, right? Like,
but what they're doing, though, is they're saying you're going to get them for wholesale. Like, we're selling them to the store for wholesale, yep. and you get to mark them up, and you get to do your discount, so you get people buying from you instead of from us. We're going to give them 2 weeks where they can buy from us. We get full markup,
yep,
everything, and then we'll decide what we have left, and maybe we'll give it to you. So that's there.
Why do people keep supporting this company?
I don't know. I don't know. And the CEO recently said something very, very charming. He said, "We've made too much money already."
Oh, shut the
fuck up. But so we'll be paying out dividends to our shareholders for the June through August, because the 10th edition release, ooh, wowie zowie, it was great. So yeah, you're not allowed to lock pre-orders. Basically, if you're the independent retailers, and this all started September 30th, so this has been going on for a month now, and so that means that the orders will be arriving to the local game stores even after the street date, so they said this is the release date and you can't get it, you can't talk about it before then, but you're going to get it maybe a month later, right, possibly. So yeah, so 25 days out in some cases, right, waiting for new releases. So this is going to just kill the business, and I could see a lot of local game stores just moving away from Warhammer.
Well, I was going to say, I will take this opportunity to say, there are any number of other game companies that produce miniatures, miniature war, rules,
better
everything,
rules,
right?
Yes.
I haven't looked at the rules since second edition, when you had the warp cards,
right?
And the thud gun template, right? So I'm not going to say they're better or worse, but all I'm going to say is this sounds like a sucky thing for independent retailers.
Yeah, right.
So,
and it also lets Games Workshop pick winners and losers. They can just say, okay, yeah, we like these guys, and we're going to sell in all the UK game stores. Yeah, you guys are going to do great. We're not going to worry so much about Australia. We're not going to worry so much about Japan.
Right. Hey, fine by me. All right.
Yes. So, the whole process is, so on Sunday, the game store sends their want sheet. Uh-huh. Tuesday, just 2 days later, they get a want sheet from Games Workshop. Then they return that within 2 days by close of business with what they want to pre-order. Then there's a phone call the next day. Games Workshop confirms the numbers. And then after that, the product goes live for pre-order on the Games Workshop site, the street date being 2 weeks later. And then the following week is the call day where the stores are able to get the extra pre-orders that they may that are available that haven't been purchased on the Games Workshop website. Want number, so keep on wanting. Yeah, so they're just trying to tighten, because I think that's where they run into the most trouble, is the cost of tooling and production, and they want to make sure they've got guaranteed. They basically want a Kickstarter numbers
Like I said at the beginning, I understand a company wanting as accurate as possible numbers so that they don't overprint and then have to spend money on storage,
right?
And I understand them not wanting to underprint and disappoint a bunch of people and have bad word of mouth, right? So yes, I understand having an accurate number of these things you want to print just helps.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of seems like a real thing to do, where they're not getting accurate numbers. They're saying we're going to screw over independent retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand a business saying we would prefer you to buy directly from us,
right?
So we're going to make it available earlier on our website. Maybe there's going to be a discount or something.
Yeah.
But again, this just kind of seems like a giant FU to independent retailers.
It really does. And I guess they have brick and mortar stores. So if they didn't have brick and mortar stores, this would be suicide for a company to destroying their community. But those local stores also, if you don't have a Games Workshop, your town's too small or whatever, this is the source of people evangelizing, Warhammer, and saying, yes, you should play this game, and here we're getting this new set in, and here's this new starter set. If they're not going to do that, and there's not a place to play, a place to find new players in the local game
store. But as you said, doesn't this kind of, and we've been talking too long about this, this kind of mean that places that Games Workshop, independent retailers that Games Workshop knows have large dedicated spaces to play, they can just say, cool, here's your pre-orders.
Right, yeah,
you and guys. Everyone else, these little stores that have nothing, no place to play, don't really, you're not getting any.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if people move away from Warhammer, or if this shuts down some stores. If this actually
like D&D, I would love it if people moved away from Warhammer.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
they're too big to fail.
Yeah, and that's the thing. WotC is looking at this. We talked about the Penguin Random House. Yep. That distribution is over. I think Wizards of the Coast is going to want to, if they're going to sell physical things and they have to pay for the production of those hardcover books, they're going to want to get all that profit. So I think they're taking notes from some of this bad behavior. And you can buy it digitally from us, or you can buy it physically, but from us,
right,
and we're taking it out of the stores where we, Yeah, because especially this tail end of 5e into whatever is going on, they've got tremendous overstock. Like, there's so much discount on their most recent books.
They're printing so many books.
Yeah, because people don't know what's happening with the system, so they're kind of waiting and seeing. But anyhow, let's move on to some happier poisoning of the AI. So yes, humanity's fight against
the
machines and technology. So Nightshade has been developed, and this is the same. This is Ben Zhao, a professor of computer science at the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Who's always been an outspoken critic of AI's data scraping processes. He was responsible for Glaze.
Yep.
And this is a new tool that's going to be part of Glaze called Nightshade. And so there are hundreds of gigabytes worth of images that have been scraped to create these. A lot of the AI. Mm-hmm. And you can actually have a good effect on it by just poisoning a handful of these images with this new thing that he's invented called Nightshade. So basically, it will slip a subtle poison into the art itself and kill an AI generator from the inside out.
I don't know exactly. I read this. I don't know exactly mm-hmm. how it does it, but it somehow inserts
right
so data so that the computer or the scraper tools read it as the wrong thing.
Yes, right. Yes, yeah. So this tool will manipulate an image on the pixel level, corrupting it in a way that the naked eye can't detect, but AI will. So it's going to. So the trained AI is going to be trained incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So things like car and cow will be confused, dog and cat, hat and cake. And if you ask for a cartoon style for your AI art, you might get 19th century impressionism.
I can. Oh, if I think there has to be like a critical mass of these poisoned things uploaded, right?
Yes, it will be entertaining.
I kind of want to see, but also kind of don't want to see what the result of like poisoned, like big titty anime girl thing will result in. Like, what kind of ungodly eldritch horror will it spit out?
Yeah, we will see things we can't unsee.
I don't think I want to see that.
Right. And it will also help defend individual artists. So that for an example, they used sci-fi fantasy artist Michael Whelan, and the poison model created something very far from their style of work. So it kind of
removed
the ability
to... So you're saying it'll protect individual artists
by... Yes, if you say in the style of...
Yeah,
it'll be like, oh, you wanted... Yeah, you wanted this. But then, you know, people are just going to have to learn what's being tricked into. So if I want this style, I have to say this name, the wrong name, just the way that people...
Well, that's assuming it always
corrupts the
wrong
word. Yeah, right.
The same way.
That's true. Yeah, so Glaze is the tool originally invented by Zhao, which is a style cloak to mask artists' images, allowing them not to be scraped for these to train these tools. And so this will work effectively against things like DeviantArt that have decided that they don't care about their artists at all. But existing models that are already kind of closed, like the SDXL or the recent DALL 3 that have already been trained and aren't going to be looking. So, I mean, DALL 4 will be in trouble. But yes, so some things have now been trained and are kind of untouched, but that they are not at a, you know, they're still kind of at a primitive level. So yeah, this is all computer training data being corrupted. So it's great that people are doing this. Like there's a lot of computer science people working on tools to recognize AI generated text and images, and now there's tools to defend it.
This is what like cyberpunk anonymous hackers like should be doing.
Yes, right, like, right.
Screw your trench coat and katana bullshit, right? Like this is like the real punk, right? Right. Like making sure corporations can't profit on work they don't own.
Right, right. The new war is at the pixel level.
Well, and I read that, and like I read the Nightshade thing, and it said subtly corrupted at the pixel level, and I'm like, can pixel artists use this?
Oh,
like I don't know, and like I'm wondering because like. If it's like the image is like this size, right? And you know, those little pictures, I'm like, wow, that looks like gibberish now, right?
Right, right.
Anyway, yes. I'm curious what it would look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I wonder what it would do. And maybe they don't want to expose too much of how it works because then it's just going to let the companies get around it. So,
well, maybe.
Yeah. So we'll see. But it's good. It's good that people in, especially professor status, are doing this to help the future instead of hurt it. But, you know.
New cyberpunk run mission. And I'm not going to say Shadowrun because I don't like to mix tech and magic.
Mm-hmm.
Closed AI scraper system, right, that already has its data set.
Mm-hmm.
You got to infiltrate the headquarters with your little thumb drive and upload a bunch of corrupted images into the set, right?
Nice.
There you go. Free TTRPG idea.
Yes, there we go.
Actually, I'm going to have to write a new sprawl mission about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be good. Helping our visual arts of the future, our digital visual artists. All right. So something a little horror themed. Okay. The Lost Mountain Saga is available for pre-order. And October 31st was okay. their date. You can pre-order it now, but I think on the 31st is when you get access to the full PDF. Oh, nice. So it's a Free League typical order where the book will be produced early next year, but in the meantime, you have the PDF. Yeah, the PDF is available. And so, yeah, immediate access through the PDF through DriveThruRPG. So what is the Lost Mountain Saga? So the story is basically an ancient stone has been discovered in the dark caves of the Mythic North, protected for thousands of years by creatures no longer walking the earth. These sacred stones were never meant to be found. However, it is the nature of human curiosity and greed, exploitation soon begins with little regard for potential risks. So yeah, this
sounds legit.
Yes, and this was originally, so Eleanor DiLorenzo. DiLorenzo is the game master, and this is an actual play podcast. So she wrote this original set of adventures for an actual play podcast right after Vesen came out. So she's Swedish and was very inspired by this. And Free League was so impressed that they said, we want to publish this. So can you elaborate on some of this story, things that, so to allow people to run it. And so they got Johan Egerkrantz and Anton Vidas to produce illustrations for it, and they're releasing it as a hardcover book. So she said, as a Swede living in the United States who mostly plays with Americans, the Lost Mountain Saga was a way for me to bring everything that excites me back to my own culture and customs to the table. So for the sacred rituals of Fika, to the often romanticized Viking heritage, to some of our questionable political movements, and of course, the terrifying creatures that used to haunt my dreams when I was a kid.
Spooky.
Yes, so they've already done a couple of seasons of this. So if you're not playing Vesen and you're not interested in running it, their podcast is very well done. Very high production, and very enjoyable to read. And it's an all female cast, so very enjoyable to listen to their production of this. So what does Lost Mountain Saga include? So it's five chapters that take you through the five mysteries that kind of lead to the climax. So Duty and Despair, the beginning of the fall, Where the Sun Dies, The Prince and the Witch, and the Lost Mountain Saga finale. So, it's really great. It's so nice to see Free League supporting people that are being creative with their games and their systems and enjoy the settings and themes, and really run with it. So, with her are also Anne Richman and the other actress. Oh, I'm so sorry. My pasting didn't work. so she's got two
corrupted.
Other yes oh Sydney Emmanuel. So those are the two other actors that are her players, and so it's definitely worth listening to. I'll put a link to the podcast as well as the link for pre-order on Free League if you're interested in this. And we might try to run this, even though one of the characters died. We had an idea to maybe bring them back as a revenant or something in the storyline, so we could run these adventures.
That'd be pretty spooky.
Yeah, very, very nice. This is all available for pre-order now, and you can get the PDF on Halloween. How appropriate. Ooh. All right, probably the most terrifying story of this week is Everything for Your Adventures. So
I don't know. I can imagine a lot. Everything for Your Adventures?
This is everything. So, yes, we're going to... I would only recommend this if you are already trapped in the realm of Roll20.
Okay.
But this is an exclusive Roll20 Humble Bundle. So basically, if you are using that VTT and are happy with it, this is a real good deal on getting a ton of stuff that you can run.
A literal ton.
A literal ton. A digital ton. So some of the most popular RPGs, virtual assets. So this will be the rule books and assets and things, but of course they're trapped in Roll20.
Right,
so they're not going to be of much use. They're not just PDFs. And I think some of the assets, I don't think they're compiled. So I think the assets actually could be stripped out of some of these packages.
Okay.
I'm not that familiar with Roll20. I'm not recommending anything, but I'm just saying, if you're using Roll20, here you go. Pathfinder 2E, Dune Adventures in the Imperium, and then a huge selection of deep magic, as well as maps and tokens. And also included is a 1 month subscription to their Plus service to give you extra storage and everything, and to get you addicted.
Because you're going
to
need it after you get all the stuff, right?
Right. I guess. Yes, and get you paying. So for about $5, you can get a lot of support for D&D 5e, Cyberpunk Red, And for about $10, you get the Fallout role-playing game and a bunch of assets for that as well. And also including a Fate starter bundle within Roll20. And then for their Ultimate...
Ultimate.
Everything all in. You get everything from the previous tiers, plus Tales from the Loop and more on the beginner box for Pathfinder. Okay. As well, and then, like I mentioned, the Dune Adventures right. in the Imperium. So yeah, some free leagues, some Paizo, some D&D, just about everything. So a lot of assets to probably support, you know, what you've been doing, right. and also so fantasy, cyberpunk, a pretty big range, and Tales from the Loop is.
Why would you need all that? You can use D&D in 5e to play absolutely everything, right?
Right, that's right. You can play Swedish robot mysteries in 5e, but yeah, so it's a great deal if you're in that world. If you're paying for a subscription, this is probably worth picking up because it gives you a chance to try new games. And it's all in there. You can you know, read the rules and the adventures as well. And then you have nice assets. So pre-built assets on virtual tabletops are nice because the amount, you know, like if you've prepped for a campaign, like this is that times 100 to get right. the digital assets and everything, you know, all the lore and listings and handouts into the game itself. If you have to do the scanning and the, you know, the creating the digital files, it is quite a pain. It creates a lot more prep that you really may, and you that, you know, just like any campaign, you may or may not ever use. Yep. You put all the NPCs in there.
Improv, man. Yeah. Play an improv yeah. game where you just make stuff up by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, and I really wish, and I hope Alchemy. There's a couple of tabletops that you know will become are like kind of coming online. Mm. They're still kind of in beta. But that was the thing that I really liked about Astral, is when we used that for Blade Runner. Right. If I hadn't prepped something, I could literally just throw a JPEG onto the desktop and it would show up. Right. And I could just say, here's that character. And I didn't have to create a character sheet, create an NPC file, and like do all this stuff and like add stuff. And here's the stats and here's this. You know. So for Theater of the Mind, all of these virtual tabletops need to just let you throw stuff in and not... add asset, search for this, link to this, give priority, here's let it idea. Be viewed. Yeah.
What's share that? Screen with Zoom.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yes.
Though, okay, Zoom
you
is
used. You can hold stuff. Yep. See, that's, yep, yeah, that's this, what this
I
did. Is yep,
that's how I ran it. Like, okay, and here's the map. Everyone see it okay? Yep, okay.
Right. Well, you
me,
are
let
here.
Me, let
here.
Me point my camera down at the scrawl I drew on a cocktail napkin.
Right, right. Yeah, so, but when you get these pre-made assets, especially in something like Foundry, where they have line of sight for the tokens and like they're in rooms and you're moving. And even if you're not going to do like you're not counting squares or right. anything.
We're getting dangerously close to a war game.
Yeah, right. When you move out into situations, characters can be surprised by things because there can be sound cues and visual cues that as they progress, they move into and they're like, something's happening. And then, yes, I'll explain what just happened.
Or you could just play a fucking video game.
You could.
I'm sorry.
But there's like interesting levels of interactivity that the pre-built assets offer that are nice. And also, so Alchemy, the one that's coming out, is doing really nice. Just it's mostly Theater of the Mind. It's intended for that, not really like square counting grid. And it's got nice animations. They take a lot of the digital assets from the games, from the sources for the games, and they do really nice kind of atmospheric animation for it. So you'll just have the cover art, but the hair is flowing. And
oh, that
like,
kind
yeah,
of like
yeah,
the very subtle. The generated like.
Right, yeah, so one, very subtle stuff. Yeah,
the ones
so.
That mimic those old like
oh right, yeah,
3D the sheets you could look at and they were like, there's a little bit that's moving. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So some nice, yeah, really nice visual elements that are better than just like a static image. So yeah, so it's getting there, but it's got to just be really flexible. Like you have to be able to improv because it's a big job of game masters. So when it's not flexible like that, I'm like, wait, hold on, guys. Wait, hold on. Can you see this?
See, what you need to do is devote like all of your time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To perfecting your astral, or sorry, perfecting yes. your VTT GMing
yes,
skills.
Right. That's right. It should be a career, not a
yes,
hobby.
Yes.
Yeah, so everything for your adventures, a Humble Bundle is now available. And we've got a affiliate code, so if you nice. Are already on Roll20.
I just trashed it yeah.
If you're on Roll20, though, this is a great way to get a ton of assets for almost nothing. And because right. the prices are pretty dear in the store, in the Roll20 right. store. If you were curious about trying Dune or Pathfinder or Cyberpunk Red or Fate or Tales from the Loop, it's all there. Yeah, so that'll help support us. So there's a link in the description for that as well.
Have I mentioned I'm thinking about trying Roll20 now? Actually, no, I just want people to click on that link.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not any better or worse than everything that's out there. I'm partial to Foundry just because I'm learning it. It's just like with Photoshop. I'm like trapped in Photoshop hell because I know it. And so, yeah, it's hard to like back out of all of that.
I still very curve. Embarrassingly have not even cracked open my Affinity Photo 1E workbook, right? Like, it's on my computer. Like, I open up, I'm going to go, this is nothing like Photoshop. I'm not instantly good at it. I have lost interest.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, but if you are in the Roll20 world, oh, I actually had a screen cap of this, so I could tell you what else is on there. Yeah, so Pathfinder, Dune, Deep Magic. Oh, there's the Alien Archive for Starfinder.
Okay, so Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just a loop. Junkers for Pathfinder. Junkers Delight. Looks like an adventure. Brave New Worlds. More Pathfinder assets and a lot of maps. Yeah, Cyberpunk Red maps and yeah, all kinds of good stuff. Oh, and as of I think today, they're releasing there's mystery inclusion. So they're actually adding more to this bundle before it's completed. So it's still got a few weeks, and they're adding more like every week to entice you a little bit more. So it's going to be huge. By the end of it, you're going to have access to a lot of stuff. So if you're already in Roll20, it's worth. You can do other things than 5e. Branch out.
Why would you?
Yes, and it supports the. I can't even read it, but the kids charity. What is that play? A lot of the streamers. Oh my god! Yeah, it supports a wonderful charity for children, children's hospitals.
There you go.
Yeah, but usually that's the one that people kind of default to when they do actual plays like donations and stuff. Yes, so check it out, and that's the spooky end of this
very
this nonsense. this week. So yes. So where can people find you?
On Threads, I guess, or more importantly, like Blue Sky, Hivemind, HYVEMYND, where now it's little pixel dungeon stuff and the slow beginnings of that tiny lion rampant board.
Oh nice.
So yeah. So how about you?
Very good. Yes, so I'm still doing my single panel gag cartoon. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. So I draw the cartoon, eat some snacks from the convenience store, and surprisingly, all the Halloween stuff is gone already. It's Christmas now. I mean, so just in case you were wondering, just late October is
Haven't even had the holiday, and it's already Christmas.
Yeah, they got to clear the stuff out because they got to get Christmas out of the way for New Year's. So it's a mess here. So we'll be enjoying our non Halloween in Japan, where we're not going to be drinking in public or meeting other people in the streets.
Stay home and don't drink in public.
Yes. Yeah. Congregate is the word I was looking for. And so if you'd like to support what we're doing on the weekly, please visit upturntable.com where everything is linked. And if you'd like to directly support us, become a weakling.
Yes, the strongest of all supporters.
Yes, that's on Patreon. And there's also now Patreon is open to free subscriptions. Okay. So I've got some ideas for posting things for free. So I think audio files for actual plays and things are going to have their home now for free on the Patreon site, because that would be a good way to keep things stored. So we'll have both a video, the video element with the audio of the stream, and then the audio itself if you just want to listen to that. Because some people have asked specifically they're long enough sessions that all of the tools that you can use to take audio out of a YouTube channel and make it an MP3, it's too long. So yeah, you run into a 2-hour time limit, and most of our sessions are like 4 hours. So yes, so we'll be posting the audio for that, so you can listen to Star Trek and Vaison and all the good stuff, Nave, all the good stuff we've been up to, only on audio, so without our wonderful imagery. All right, and thank you for listening, and thank you to all the supporters on Patreon and members on YouTube. So if you're watching the stream, the join button will get you a membership. Yes, and get you exclusive content, audiobooks, and all kinds of lore videos and good stuff. And that'll do it for this week.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.